Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. 10 years after graduation, Megan has been to grad school, yet still works for her dad's tax office and is still surrounded by her high school friends and boyfriend. She has been floating. So when her boyfriend proposes, she decides it's time for a week-long personal development retreat. But she actually ends up at the home of a high school acquaintance whose father, played by Sam Rockwell, is not having it.
You do realize that reverting to a teenage life and sneaking into my house is weird, correct?
Right.
And why were you trying to sleep over?
The lease on my apartment ran out, and I can't get into my new place for a week. And my friends are... I didn't want to involve them or my parents.
Megan is played by a remarkably unbuttoned Keira Knightley in a new film called Laggies. The film was directed by Lynn Shelton and produced by my guest Alex Madigan. Alex is the Oscar-nominated producer of Winter's Bone and dozens of other films, including White Bird in a Blizzard with Shailene Woodley, that has also just been released. Alex has become a prominent voice for the importance of independent films and filmmakers. We spoke to her when she was in New Hampshire last week to present her film Laggies at Dartmouth. Alex Madigan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me, Virginia.
It is so refreshing to see Keira Knightley in a role that doesn't require her wearing a corset. She is a really big, bankable Hollywood star in an indie movie. How did that happen?
Well, you know, it's really funny with Keira. She's always, I agree with you, a very typecast in, you know, those Pride and Prejudice, even though those movies are usually incredible that she's in and she's wonderful in them, it doesn't really exhibit the great range she has. And a funny story about Keira is that when she was doing, we had a table read of the script 2 days before we started shooting when the talent had flown in. And there was a little bit of an emergency, so I was late in coming to the table read, and I was out of Keira's eye line. I couldn't see her. And I heard someone reading the character of Megan, and I was like, God, who's that person with that really specific Pacific Northwest accent? And I realized at that point it was Keira, and she had such a great ear, not only for an American accent, but a very specific Pacific Northwest one. And she has such a charming, likable, endearing quality, which you really have to have in portraying the character of Megan, because Megan does some pretty unlikable things during the course of that story. I mean, she basically lies the whole time to the people that she's close to. So you have to have an actress who you're going to be able to connect with, and Keira certainly brought that to the table in a wonderful way.
Laggies was directed by Lynn Shelton, who has directed other features and several television episodes. Winter's Bone was also directed by a woman, Deborah Granick, if I'm saying that right.
Yes.
Do you gravitate towards projects made by women?
I've worked with a fair amount of female directors, including Shireen Dabas, who directed a wonderful independent movie called Amrika, and I worked with her recently on a movie that I really loved that was shot in Jordan called Me in the Summer. And I think I do gravitate towards women directors for the reason that I think women like to tell stories about the underdog or the disenfranchised or people who kind of are outside of the group. Like, for some reason, I feel that women are more inclined to tell those kind of stories. And so I love working with women directors, and I feel very fortunate that I've been able to. And Lynn is absolutely remarkable. She really is. The set that she is able to establish in terms of creating a rapport with actors and crew, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that she was an actress and she was an editor, that she just has an incredible affinity with working with people across the board. So it was truly a pleasure to come on set every day and work with her.
Well, let's hear another clip from the film Laggies. Here's Megan, now again played by Keira Knightley. She's trying to kind of explain herself to Craig. He's played by Sam Rockwell. He is the father of a high school girl that she's been hanging out with.
After college, I worked some random jobs. Time went by. I'm going to skip to... Okay, I went back to grad school to get my marriage and family therapist degree, because I thought I wanted to have honest conversations with people.
Mm-hmm.
But I did my internship, and I couldn't relate to any of my clients. I felt like a total fraud. So, you know, I kind of found myself in this place, like this kind of weird in-between place, you could say, you know, and I don't know, I was kind of floating.
So that's Keira Knightley playing Megan, kind of, let's say, arrested, you know, a woman not acting her age in the conventional sense anyway. Anyway, age on sets was something that you picked up on in your keynote speech this year at the Sundance Producers Lunch. You were talking about the instability or how to sustain oneself making independent movies. So I'm reading here from a transcript. You're on a film set in upstate New York, and you write, "The crew was bustling and excited, and the activity on set was humming and energized. I looked around, took it all in, and felt like taking a nap. These days, seeing someone on set who is as old as I am is like spotting an elusive antelope. But fortunately, the nice lady doing craft looked to be a contemporary. So I hung out with her, drank a lot of coffee, and got to thinking that maybe this was indeed the opportune moment to pursue my next career choice of animal rescue. But like most of you, I am sure I cannot leave just yet." So where are you now, Alex Madigan? Are you still there? Still convinced that making films is better for you than animal rescue?
Well, most days, I think. But it's so funny because I spend a lot of time on sets, you know, when I'm producing a movie, and I do look around me sometimes and I'm like, oh my God, I could be all be your mother. And I do think the hours and the strenuous work aspects, you know, and working on Below the Line and being a part of the crew, it's just, that's something that you really have to do when you're young because it requires so much stamina. And so when you arrive on set and you're a producer and you're of a certain age, it is, you know, it's, you do feel old. It's noticeable, but it's still exciting because you see so many young people who are really still so enthralled in what they're doing and have such great aspirations and are still so inspired by the day-to-day business. They never look at it as a slog, and that's incredibly inspiring to see, I think, in any line of work.
So interesting that you said the maternal instinct, because I was just at the New Orleans Film Festival meeting a person, a young producer, a woman, who proposed that there are more female producers compared to directors, certainly, because there is less ego. There's more managing of personalities. There's this kind of ability to rally people and, you know, trying to keep a lot of people happy. More traditionally female attributes. Do you buy that?
I think it's really funny that you said that because I was just at a premiere of a movie that I worked on that's also opening this Friday called White Bird in a Blizzard with Shailene Woodley, and it's directed by Greg Araki. And I was at the premiere and a man walked up to me and he said, "Oh, congratulations on your movie." And I was so taken aback that he would use that that possessive, you know, the "your." Mm-hmm. And I immediately protested and I said, "Oh, well, it's not my movie." And not indignantly, but just in surprise. And I was standing next to another female independent producer. And she said, "Well, look, a man said that to you," which I thought was really funny because, you know, it is true. I think women never claim ownership of a film in the way that men do. And I do think women have a tendency to be, you know, more collaborative. I think also I was saying, I hope that's not too inflammatory that I just said that, but I think it's also that we have a great ability to multitask. Mm-hmm. And that becomes an incredibly important attribute when you're a producer because you're juggling so many things at once. So to be able to have, you know, a whole lot of stuff going on and lists and be able to do several things at once is of such paramount importance when you're working.
Well, you were nominated for an Oscar as producer of the film Winter's Bone, which catapulted a then 20-year-old Jennifer Lawrence to stardom. Here's a scene from that film.
"What is it you want?"
"I got a real bad need to talk with Thump."
"Now, he ain't got no need to talk to you."
"But I need to. I really, really got to, ma'am, please. Some of our blood at least is the same. Ain't that supposed to mean something? Isn't that what is always said?"
"Ain't you got no men could do this?"
"No, ma'am, I don't."
I'm speaking with the Oscar-nominated film producer Alex Madigan. She is the producer of the film Winter's Bone and has a couple of new films out, Laggy, starring Keira Knightley, and White Bird in a Blizzard, starring Shailene Woodley. So, Alex, you know, what I hear is the rewards are great, but it's such an unsteady business that many people do choose to play it safe, you know, not go the independent route. How do you steel yourself for taking these risks and for surviving the setbacks that are just about inevitable?
I think you always have to be prepared for the no. So when the yes comes, it's such a wonderful and complete surprise. I think the thing that you also hope for is that the no will be quick, because the worst thing that can happen to a project is if there's a long, lengthy period of indecision, whether it's an actor or a financier. So I think you're always hoping that there's movement. And someone said recently, which I thought was such a wise thing, is that when an actor passes on a project, it's always like a sign of a project moving forward, because then you're on to the next person. And I thought that was a wonderful way to look at disappointment. I think it's a business, you know, that has sort of a natural gambler's instinct involved in it. I think you try to stack the odds in your favor, but whether or not a film will succeed is sometimes purely alchemy, too. It's, you know, you can start off with an incredible script and actors and talent, and everything will look great on paper, but for some reason it just won't coalesce in the way that you would want it to, and then sometimes it does in a completely wonderful way. So there's always, no matter how you're facing it, there's always a certain element of surprise involved.
Alex, do you look forward to the day when you are not asked in interviews about being a woman producer in Hollywood?
You know, the thing is that I am a woman producer, and I think that I expect that question, and I never feel that things aren't given to me because I'm a woman. And I know that for female directors, it's a much more difficult road. But I have to say, I will look sometimes around a room. You know, there's a meeting on a project, directors, the writers, the other financiers, the other producers, and I will make the sudden realization that I am the only woman in the room. And that does happen quite a bit.
Well, Alex Madigan, thank you very much for making some time for us today.
Thank you so much, Virginia. Thank you for having me.
Alex Madigan, Dartmouth alum and Oscar-nominated producer. She's got two new films out, Laggies, starring Keira Knightley, Sam Rockwell, and Chloe Grace Moritz, which is now in select theaters, and White Bird in a Blizzard with Shailene Woodley. For more information on the screening at Dartmouth, you can go to wordofmouthradio.org. Well, Friday is Halloween, a day to try on a new personality, admire some adorable kids' costumes, and mostly to have fun. For radio producers, it is an annual excuse to revive the same old Halloween songs again and again and again. We at Word of Mouth are hoping to put aside the Monster Mash and Michael Jackson's Thriller this year, classics though they may be. We're looking for some fresh tracks, so we asked you for some of your favorite underrated Halloween songs on our Facebook page, and you delivered frightfully well. Chris says he put a playlist of unusual Halloween songs together last year. He suggested Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo. Walking with the dead man over my shoulder. Tim suggested a cut from one of the strangest bands in New Hampshire history. This is It's Halloween by The Shags.
It's Halloween, it's Halloween, it's time for scares, it's time for screams. It's Halloween, it's Halloween. Why, even Dracula will be there.
Jessica pulled from television's long list of Halloween parody songs. She suggested Tracy Morgan's rendition of Werewolf Bar Mitzvah from the show 30 Rock.
Babe, werewolf bar mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves.
Many of the moodiest Halloween songs have come from horror film soundtracks, like The Exorcist or Halloween. A lesser-known but equally creepy theme was composed for Rosemary's Baby. Here's a cover by the band Fantomas. And while we think this one does get its fair share of playtime every Halloween, we will leave you with a song that received several votes from listeners, Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. Loads of great stuff to choose from here. So a big thanks to everybody who suggested a spooky tune already. And you can add your suggestion to our growing playlist of underrated Halloween songs. That's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio. I'm Virginia Prescott. We will be back with more of the wild, the weird, and the wicked scary on Word of Mouth tomorrow at 2 on New Hampshire Public Radio. Werewolves of London.